Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. For the next few minutes, we'll be doing what we usually do every week, teaching a Sunday school lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen, standing at the very edge of one of the most important accounts in Scripture, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Matthew's account, chapter 28, for those who are following along. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is a regular guest, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Their Sunday School curriculum is called Growing in Christ. Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ the thing, or is it the thing that comes after the real thing? We were recently talking with Pastor Will Whedon on the program, and he said, this is why we remain so cross-obsessed, because without the cross, the resurrection is just another miracle. Without the cross, without Jesus dead for us and our sins on the cross, we aren't saved by a raised Jesus. But the resurrection, of course, is also crucial. Pam, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's great to be back. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you as well. The focus, of course, of the church's celebration will be upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ and our future resurrection. But if the Wilkin House is typical, then Easter becomes kind of a mini Christmas, with, you know, except that you can go outside and play. There are Easter baskets. As we got a little more money to jingle in our pockets, there were presents all around for the kids. Of course, the Easter egg hunt, both at church and at home. What can we do to keep our children focused on the real thing when it comes to Easter?
Well, that's a great question. Well, we can start by having them in church all of Holy Week and building up to that Easter, so it's not just this one day by itself, but that it's part of our life in the church, and it's part of what we do as a family. And we followed this sequence from Palm Sunday to Easter morning. And so it's very clear from the worship that we've attended, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Vigil, all of that, that this all goes together, and this is all about our Lord and our Savior. Is it wrong to have Easter egg hunts? I don't think so. If that's the main thing, then of course it's, you know, out of place. But the whole idea of the egg and an egg hatching or opening up is the new life. And so we take time to explain to our little Jimmies and Susies, we're going to have an Easter egg hunt, and, you know, there'll be some treats inside. But why do we do this? Because eggs contain life, and we watch the little baby chicks get born, and the little birds in the bird nests around our yard at this time of year, symbols of new life. And we take time to teach and explain that. Candy's not bad either. I'll take chocolate anytime you want to give it to me, but maybe it's the bunny that's the most difficult, because that's sort of like the Santa figure in Easter. Not sure we should go all into that, but I really think you kind of counter all that by taking time to talk about what's going on. And when you walk into church on Easter morning, helping your child, walk them around to see what's different. And if I can't imagine a church that isn't quite different on Easter, with the flowers and the palms and the music that comes, the special music that wasn't that way last week or and won't be quite as special next week. Help them to be attuned to that and talk about, well, why is this day so special? It is the highest, holiest day for us as God's children. It's the big Sunday. If every Sunday is a little Easter, this is the big Easter. It is Easter. So I think that's how you have to do it. And, you know, it starts by parents having their focus correct. And then you can share all the traditions with the children, but talk about the main thing, that Jesus rose from the dead.
Matthew's account of the resurrection is unique in that he alone tells us what happened immediately prior to the women arriving at the empty tomb. He tells us about what happened while it was still dark, this great earthquake, this angel descending from heaven, rolling back the stone and sitting upon it, the guards struck as though they were dead. And then the women suddenly arrive, and hear the angel's announcement. It's interesting that you don't see Jesus come popping out of the tomb. He always appears to everyone afterward completely alive. And it seems as though the gospel writers want us to see that Jesus' resurrection, the first witnesses don't see a dead body coming to life. They see the living Christ.
Yeah, and it's a nuance maybe that we miss in the sort of telling and retelling of the story that Matthew really makes clear. The angel rolls the stone away to an empty tomb. You know, and I'm thinking back in all my collected memories of Easter and how I learned it, and, you know, my answer to that question would be no. The stone was rolled away and there was a living Jesus, just because our memories get blurred. But that's the point of Matthew taking the time here. The tomb is empty, so they look in. He's not there. And when they do encounter him, you're right, he is quite alive. And very clearly they see who he is. And this angel and the earthquake and all these things that happen, you know, they signal the reality of what happens on that morning. The angel, his appearance like lightning, Matthew says, and his clothing white as snow. Mark says that the women saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe. And here we have all of this light and brightness and new creation that all kind of comes out visually for the women there at the tomb. It's the new light of God's forgiveness, and we can see it with all that's happened here.
Just so we understand here, these guards that are mentioned in mm-hmm. Matthew's gospel are mentioned by, I think, all the gospel writers to some extent. These are there to keep what from happening?
Well, that's right. And Matthew's the only writer to mention that the guards at the tomb, both after his crucifixion and then at his resurrection, Pontius Pilate placed them there because the Jewish leaders were worried that somebody who loved Jesus would take his body, would steal it, and then say he rose. They just didn't believe he was going to rise, and they didn't want any monkey business that might cause a false report. So they put the guards there to guard the tomb, and when the angel appears, the text says they became like dead men. They didn't actually die, but they fainted or, you know, passed out, whatever. It was such a sight for them, and they certainly weren't able to guard the tomb. And the angel rolls the stone away, and we see through the story that Jesus isn't there. He has already risen.
The angel says, "Do not be afraid." And then later, when Jesus meets them, at least according to Matthew's gospel, he says essentially, you know, greetings. It's a happy meeting for them. Why would they be afraid?
Well, you know, all throughout Scripture, the appearance of angels are as often they speak these words, "Do not be afraid." They're heavenly beings. They're bright. They're not like anything that we see in our normal life, and they come from God, holy, true, righteous, perfect God, and for any of us who are sinners, you know, facing that, it is a frightful thing at first because we realize who we are and who we aren't. And to see those angels, we need their assurance. Do not be afraid. And they come with a message of God's love, always with his mercy, his grace, like the angels over the shepherds and the angel with Mary and Joseph and so many other Bible stories. But I think for any of us, the first sight of an angel would be a little bit fearsome. They're not these Victorian angels that we love to put on walls and carve statues out of, all soft and fluffy and big wings. And the biblical description, if you read through Scripture and look for places where angels are described, they're warriors. They're fierce. They're strong, and they are of God. So that would set you back a little, I think.
The angel says, refers to Jesus as Jesus who was crucified. Mm. Why is that important?
Well, they've met the women, and they say that because the women are there expecting to anoint a dead body. That's why they've come. They saw him die. They're bringing their spices. They're going to do what they can. And it's customary. And the angel's reference here to the crucified Jesus really is sort of a reminder to us that our Lord was indeed dead and buried. You know, Matthew's making this clear. He really was dead. He really did die. It's not something that you thought maybe happened. It wasn't pretend, but he really was truly dead and he was truly buried. So this then prepares the women for the grander proclamation of the angel. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. You know, and Jesus, in one single action, being raised from the dead, gives them, gives us hope for new life. He was really dead, like we're going to be someday, and he's really now alive. He's risen, just as he said, and that then is for us as well. We will one day rise again to new life. Very important that we get both. Yes, he died, and yes, he rose.
You mentioned early in our conversation the little Easter and then the big Easter, the little celebration of the resurrection, and then the big one that comes on this Sunday, a few days away from now. Is this also a good opportunity to explain to the kids why it is that Christians have, from the very outset, after Christ's resurrection, worshipped on Sunday, the first day of the week?
Yeah, it's a great way to help them understand that. You know, the custom before the Christian church came into being for God's people was the Sabbath worship, the Saturday, as the Jews did. But this Easter, the first day of the week, the eighth day, you could say, after it's the next Sunday, after a week, it sort of mimics God's creation of the world. The 6 days, on the seventh, he rests. So you think of Saturday, Easter Saturday, that day of resting in the tomb, and then Easter morning on a Sunday when Christ rises from the dead. New life, new creation, everything new because of his resurrection. And so that's the first day of the new resurrection, the new life. And so we talk about those 8 days, the first days, 7 days of creation at the beginning of the world, and now this eighth day, always Sunday. It's a day of new creation for us because of Christ's death and resurrection.
One more quick question.
Sure.
Talk about, especially for the life of the church with respect to its children, Easter not only as a day, but as a season.
Yeah. It's a long season in the church. We, I think it's, 7 weeks that we worship and sing those Easter hymns and the Alleluias and all of that, because it's a fact of life for us. Because Jesus rose from the dead, it's our life. It surrounds us, this reality of resurrection, of new life, and it undergirds us in a world that really is dying because of sin, broken because of sin. And so we have this rich season of Easter where we hear the story, we get to hear about Jesus' appearances after that first one there in the garden when he met with the disciples behind closed doors, when Thomas gets to touch his hands and his feet, and even the one that I love so much, the Easter breakfast where Jesus is cooking the fish on the side of the lake for his disciples. We get to recount all of that and have it reinforced for us. This is what it's all about. We are Easter people. We are the children of God who have had our sins paid for by his suffering and death, and we now can have this new life that Jesus here has in the resurrection. It's for us too.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen is Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. It is Concordia Publishing House's Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or you can call and get a free sample of Growing in Christ. Check it out for yourself. Call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. It's called Growing in Christ. Pam, thanks for being our guest, and a blessed Easter to you and yours.
You too. Thank you so much.
I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.